As I was home this morning listening to worship songs, I started writing, and I always do that because I forget a lot of things. But it says, where would you be without Jesus? That's a good, very good question for us today. Battles are raging. The body is worn out. Shake off and rise up. Move, move, even if it's a small step. Use your shield. Use the belt of truth. Become who he tells you that you are. Mighty, mighty voices, when you lay aside, I'm fighting on your behalf. I'm watching over you, so look forward. My voice is like many waters, which is rising up within you. So don't stop now. It's our time. It's our breakthrough.
Yeah. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate it. Thank you for bringing us to that place where we can experience God and learn more who he is. So thank you. Amen. So there's a lot of you probably don't know who I am. My name is Brian Pedersen. I'm one of the elders on the board here. And I look around and there's a lot of people that I don't know. There's some that I'm getting around and I'm getting names, you know, in a putting face to names, but I really don't know them. And for those of you that haven't even met me, I look forward to being able to getting around and, you know, not only learning your name, but knowing you a little bit. So, and welcome here today. I'm not going to read the announcements. You can pick one up and you can see what's going on here at Echo Hills. And as you notice, all the pastors, they're away. Pastor Mike and Deb, they're supposed to be back first part of this week. And Pastor Josh, he's in Kansas. Ah, this afternoon, okay. Yeah, and then, of course, Pastor Jeff, he's not feeling well, and that's why he's not here. So why don't we just take a moment, and we'll just pray for them, for their safety. And so, Father, I just thank you for the pastors here. I thank you for the care and feeding that they do. Bless them, protect them. Is there a way? And, Lord, Jeff, just that whatever this bug is that he has, Lord, that you would heal him of it. And it would be gone quickly. Thank you. So I also want to speak about the offering a little bit. You can see the buckets are around. So feel free to drop your offering. But instead of just talking about money, I kind of wanted to equate our offering to our faith. Because really, the two go together. And if you really, faith and believing what God tells us, is they just go hand in hand. And so When we talk about faith, you know, as I look around, there's a lot of people I don't know, and I wonder, well, where are you in your faith walk with God? And, you know, there's varying degrees, you know, like faith, God gives us a measure of faith to even come to him, right? The Holy Spirit draws you. And so maybe you were at that place that you just got this measure of faith and you're here. And then after a few years of being a believer, you know, you learn, you come to church and hopefully you're learning and you study the Bible and you learn a little bit more and you're like, hey, I've read that story and, you know, I believe that. And so your faith grows. And then after many, many years, like, you know, if I look at myself, 40 years, it's like, not only do I read and believe, but I get to experience it. I get to know who God is. And so your faith grows. And offering is kind of like this, like give your faith a chance to exercise. Exercise your faith in giving. And see what God will do. So I'm kind of a numbers kind of guy. And so, you know, there's a couple camps that I want to just cover maybe in how people think about giving. And so, you know, if you took the average wage of a person in the country and, you know, it had a modest investment and you gave, let's say you were saved pretty early and you gave for 30 years, you know, that money and that interest would go, you know, you'd be upwards of $500,000, right? You know, when I say that, are you a person that, you know, kind of like, where's my wallet? I'm going to squeeze that a little tighter. I'm going to pull my purse, you know, because that's a lot of money. It's like, well, what could I do with all that? Exercise your faith. You know, but maybe you're a person that's like, well, I can't even make it paycheck to paycheck. I don't have anything to give. And again, I'd say just exercise your faith. Sacrifice something, no matter what it is. Even if it's really small, just begin somewhere. I just want to encourage you to exercise your faith, grow in your faith, learn what God has to say about giving, and you know it'll affect how you view that. Why don't you come up with the mic so everybody can hear you?
But years ago, when I first got saved, quite a few years ago, my husband and I were new to the faith, and we'd heard about tithing, but we hadn't started tithing. And he came home one time with his paycheck, and it was something like our tithe would have been about $33. We had 5 small children, backyard with no toys, no swings, no nothing. There was a couple down the street that had a swing set and slide and things for sale, $33. And we debated, do we pay a tithe? Is that what we're supposed to do? Or do we get this toys for the kids? We paid our tithe. That swing set was given to us. God blesses you when you pay your tithe.
Yeah, and one last thing on that. I'd just like to, you know, God asks us to, but he wants to have us be a cheerful giver, right? And so if you're giving out of just because, oh, I just have to, that's not really what God wants from us. So learn about what he has to say about it. Speak to him, you know, about what you should give. And you know, the Holy Spirit will lead you. So that's enough on that. So at this time, I'd like to, Tiffany, you want to come up? And the kids can come forward. We'll pray over you before you go.
Donna, I wanted to let you know when you said you wanted to write things down because sometimes you don't remember. And I had a great quote that I always like to share, and that just made me think of it, that our minds are for thinking of ideas, not hanging on to them. And I thought that was a good word for any of us that have memory problems, troubles, whether it's age-related or not, that our job is to think of them and write them down. Our brains aren't meant for hanging on to those.
So let's pray for these guys. So, Lord, I just pray that you would bless these kids and at their level, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them and that they would learn and grow in you and bless the teachers as they spend time with them. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, at this time, I get to welcome Jennifer Pelletier. So welcome her as she comes. As she comes and gives us the work that God has for her to do. Amen. So thank you, Jennifer.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here this morning. We'll just see what the Lord does. This is such an exciting time to be alive. Of all time periods, the Lord chose you to be alive at this moment. And then I remember when I was younger, I used to, you know, ponder about deeper things like, gosh, Lord, like I could have been alive like when you were walking the earth, and that would have been incredible. And then, you know, when you learn about the Wild West, you know, and it's like, oh, that would have been awesome, you know, the Wild West, that was kind of exciting. You know, you think about all the different time periods, but the Lord specifically chose you because of the giftings and the anointings and the talents that rest upon your life that is needed for this moment in time. And so if I can encourage you, this is your, just like Donna's word, this is your season, this is your moment. You were created for this. And I, even as the world gets darker, if you read in Isaiah, we only shine brighter. And the glory of the Lord rests upon us, and it draws people into the very glory that we carry. So for some of you, I realize, had some very bad teachings, probably during the 80s, of like, it's rapture. Get saved, and the Lord's coming for you. And it kind of put you in a stall. This is not rapture. We are not living like the Lord is coming. The Lord is going to rapture you. Now, he may be coming for you personally, if you really think there's a rapture, but he's not coming for the body. This is harvest time. We are living in the greatest harvest of the earth, and you're alive upon the earth for this moment because you are a harvester. You are part of the great plan to bring in the souls of his beloved sons and daughters. I'm sorry. The last time I preached, it was a gentleman that sat just right where you're sitting. Yes, you in the gray. That is like the hot seat. And so when I first came in, the Lord highlighted you to me. And I just want to speak over you, because the last time the gentleman that sat over there, I stopped him like you're amazing. But I feel there's like this longing in your heart for more. And that actually has been placed in you by your very Father. And it's the depth of you that calls and pulls out the depth of Jesus. And there's a real depthness for you. And so I just say, you're going to have encounters and experiences with the Lord that satisfies that very longing of your heart. And I just say over you too, it is meant for you to share it with others. Like, Jesus is so real that we can experience him. So you are amazing, and I don't know, like, the Lord his affections for you are just so great. Like, I could feel that when I walked in here, and the Lord's like, that one. And it's not to say he's highlighting this young man, but that's for all of you to grab a hold of if you want it. He's highlighting this young man, but his affections for each one of you is so great. Like, every time I get up here, it's like, Jennifer, I love these people. Like, I feel the affections of the Father for each one of you. So, but this time, he wanted to make sure that you were highlighted, that you knew. Can I just share a quick story about the last time I did that? The last Sunday, I was up here, and there was a gentleman sitting right there. I hadn't seen him. A couple weeks ago, I was at a dinner church at Lapway, and I was just introducing myself to the people that were working there. And I came to this guy, and I'm like, hey, I'm just meeting people, and my name's Jennifer, and who are you? He goes, you already know me. And I'm like, my heart drops, and I'm like, oh, well, like, how do I know? Like, I'm sorry, like, how do I know? He goes, I was the one that you called out and said, you're so amazing. I'm him. You know me. I'm him. And I brought a friend with me, and my friend's looking at me just like, seriously, Jennifer? Like, you don't remember him? And then I looked at him like, oh, yeah, I totally remember you. So where do you go to church? I was just thinking he was a visitor. The story gets worse. He's like, oh, I go to Echo Hills. I'm there every Sunday. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? You don't sit on my side. I sit on the right side. Where are you sitting? He goes, oh, I sit over on the left. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's why I don't know you. And so I just thought it was such a good reminder. I'm sorry, we are way too small to not know each other. And that for me was a point the Lord said, hey, Jennifer, that's not your spot over there. Like, you're just not supposed to stay there. So I know we get uncomfortable when, like, Pastor Jeff or Mike or Josh gets up here or Jacqueline gets up here. Hey, go introduce yourself to someone. I mean, we as family should definitely recognize one another. So I just confess to you, but I will remember you. Like, I will make sure that I get to know your name, and I will, like, bank it in my head. We are going to take a look at Joshua 4, 8, 9. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have a tablet or your phone, we can take a look at Joshua 4, 8 and verses 4, 8, 9. Okay. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan. Oh, wait. Midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there they are to this day. Sometimes when we read scripture verses, sometimes we just kind of go over the details of it. And so there are actually two sets of stones here. There are certain stones that we cross over the Jordan River into our promised land, and there are certain stones that we leave in the river. So let me give you a little background of the scripture verse. So they had been rescued out of Egypt, and all they knew for like 400 years, they were brickmakers. They were brickmakers. God's people, the Israelites, were brickmakers. Hundreds of years. Moses comes as a deliverer. He rescues them out of Egypt, and then they come into the wilderness, and they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses was allowed to see the promised land, but he was not allowed to go into the promised land. And so the Lord raised up Joshua for this generation of people, and he says, you're going to take my people into their promised land, into their inheritance, but you got to go through the Jordan. You got to cross through the Jordan. It's not the Red Sea, it's the Jordan into the promised land. And the Lord told him, you're going to be taking stones. And some of them, but they deal with memories, they deal with things. Some of them you will cross over the Jordan and take with you, and some you have to leave in the river. And I'm going to talk about both of those. There are stones. We are moving. And so just Donna's word was wonderful for it, just kind of a setup for this morning. We are not a stationary people. God's not stationary. He's on the move. God's on the move. And those stones that we hold on to so dearly, the Lord is actually asking each of us, you just got to leave them in the river. Leave them in the River Jordan. They are not, they're the old stones. They carry the old. And you are to bring the stones of memory, of remembrance, that I've called you to carry and cross over into the Jordan. I'm going to kind of tail in on what Jeff kind of talked a little bit on last Sunday. And he kind of hit on a little bit about the religious spirit. And so I'm all like, you know what, Jeff's even opened it up for addressing the elephant in the room. And so I'm like, well, both things have been addressed. I'll just piggyback on that. That religious spirit that Jeff even talked about last Sunday, it's that thing that would hold you to be stale, stagnant, status quo. I just got to keep things the way they always are. It's those rules, regulations, it's religion, it's even denominations. And so even as wonderful as you think your denomination is, that's not the Father's heart. He's not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for his bride. And so there was a couple of things like, so you know what, can I just, it is out of my great love for each one of you that I'm willing to offend you, because there's something about walking in greater freedom and liberty that you can experience greater fullness and an intimacy with Jesus. Those religious spirits would have you be content where you're at. It would just say, you know what? I've experienced enough, and that's, I'm okay with that. And I'm here to provoke you and to prod you and to poke you. That is, this is not it. So our gathering Sunday morning, as good as it is, it's not it. And there are things, so I just tell you, so there are things that I dream about with the Lord. Like, I honestly do. Like, I'm like waiting for the moment when if I'm of the group of fellow worshipers and like the glory cloud comes down and like feathers start falling and like there's gold dust everywhere and like our hands pull up with oil. So literally, that's what I think about. Like, I'm going to experience it. Like, I'm going to be part of a group of worshipers that are like, God, you're so worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that is going, you know, like, but I also realize that there is a realm of his presence, his glory that cannot be contained in this building. And it's out there. And so just know, as great as this can be, the greater is still waiting for us, and it's part of the harvest. So I just want to talk about this religious spirit a little bit, because it will be a hang up. So little comments that have been made, you know, like having issues with, so just so you know, being in rows and looking at the person's back of your head, like that's not in the Bible either. If you really want to like what the early church was like, as you, because we've gone through, like Mike and Jeff have talked about Acts 2 a lot. I mean, they met in homes. I mean, if you really, really want to get a sense of the early church, we'd be meeting at Mary's home. We would be having, she'd probably be serving us tea, and she'd probably have some cookies for us. Like, Mary, tell us what Jesus is doing, right? It would be like that. It would be this community of believers. And then we'd be like, hey, I got to bring my friend, because my friend has to meet Mary, because Mary is so awesome. And I know Mary would pray for my friend. And then all of a sudden, my friend would get saved and baptized, speaking the Holy Spirit, and then our group would become so big. It'd be like, okay, Mary, you're awesome, but we're going to start over. You know what I mean? That's how they grew. So if you really want to know about the early church, this is not what it looked like. So the issues of us being in rows or being around tables, just check your heart. And the other, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. We've had some Sundays during worship that has been very loud. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you all know what I'm talking about? It's been very loud during some worship services. Very loud, right? We know what we're talking about, right? Very loud. And I think some of you, your first thing was like, I think we got ourselves a demon. I know that because I was asking around, so what were you guys, I think it's a demon. I think we got a demon in our church. And some of you are like, oh, it's so loud and it's so disruptive. I'm trying to worship and it's loud and it's disruptive and I'm just trying to worship over here. And so that's not discernment. That's just a judgment out there. So what I actually did, I'll share my part. One Sunday that was very loud, I asked the Lord. I just said, Holy Spirit, what are you saying in this moment? What do you have to say about this? What do you have to say about this? And I'll just share with you my part. He goes, this is my part. And I'm not saying it's the full picture. And I'm not saying what happens all the time is fully the Lord. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Nobody's perfect, and we each follow the Lord to the degree of our best capability. It's the motivation of the heart. So I will just share with you the portion that the Lord gave me. He goes, Jennifer, I'm churning. And I go, churning? I go, I don't even think I really know what churning is. And so I grabbed my phone, and I Googled the definition of churning. Do you want to know what churning? So I wrote it down. This is churning. Agitate. Were some of you agitated? To stir, to shake violently. Did it look a little violent? With great force. And it says to move or to cause, to move about vigorously in reference to liquid. And this is what I loved about it. The picture I had was, like Dorshak Dam, this amazing reservoir. And it's backed up, it's fortified, right, by the dam. Layers and layers of cement. And it's this reservoir. None of us were called to be a reservoir. And even Jeff last Sunday talked about out of our inmost being is a river. We're not a reservoir. We're not a dam. We're not a pond. We're not a lake. We are a river. And I saw this picture of like Dorshak Dam that was backed up. And so if that fortified cement had to be taken down so the river could flow, it's not like a hammer would do the job, right? Not a hammer. A hammer was not going to get that dam broken down, right? The cement. Would even a jackhammer, if we had like a couple guys up there, jackhammer, it could do some damage. What would you have to do? It would be dynamite, right? Would it be loud? Would it be kind of messy? Would kind of things be flying? Okay, so that's my portion that I want to share with you to add a different perspective of when things start happening that all of a sudden we just don't throw up this red flag of, oh my goodness, this can't be the Lord. Now, I'm not saying all of it's of the Lord. You hear me, right? I'm not saying all of it was. But I'm saying, is the Lord possibly doing something that we need to move with him to where he wants to go and where he wants to get us? So I'm just saying, when things like that happen, put your hands in the air and get your receptors going and go, Holy Spirit, what do you have to say? What are you saying? In this moment, what are you saying? So Jeff talked about that religious spirit last Sunday. And I think sometimes, we kind of throw it out there a little bit. And you're, this is, of course, all of us are like, well, it's not me, right? That's the first thing that goes in our head is, it's not me. No, it's not me. It's surely not me. So I just thought, you know what? Because it was mentioned, and I thought, well, I'll go ahead and go after it too. I thought, can we all pray together? Because honestly, none of us want anything that would cause us to be hindered for the full power, the full flowing of the Lord, right? None of us do. So how about we just pray together? And so I will pray something and you just repeat after me. Now, some of you may feel, well, this feels kind of forced. You are not forced to do this. I don't, you know what? You are not forced. I shared my dream, I think, a while ago about my pet demon, George. Do you guys remember that? I had a pet. It was a T-Rex, and it was George. I had named my demon. And I'm sure some of you thought, oh, Jennifer, that's so cute. You named your demon. You had a demon. I'm like, sometimes when I share things like that, you know, we just share things, you know, and it just floats off in the wind. You know, I was like, sometimes we have these critters on us. And I know some of you are like, there's no way. And I'm just like, sometimes we get influenced. Like, I know this might be like, what? Like, sometimes we are just influenced and we just get those critters off of us. We get those critters off of us because we want to be people that are fully free. We just want to be free and we just brush them off and we say, you know what? You just don't have a hold on me. You're not going to influence me. I just release the full power of the Holy Spirit. So how about those of you, how about this, want to pray? You can pray right after me. So just say, Dear Jesus, I renounce any ideologies, methodologies, systems, or rules of men that I have trusted in instead of you. Lord, forgive me for allowing any man-made church traditions and rules to operate in my life. I want to be a new wineskin for your new wine. Marnie, amen. Amen. Did I give you Mark 2:22? The Lord actually knew this was going to happen. And so in Mark 2:22, Jesus says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. So is that not what we want to be? Do we not want the new wine? As great as the wine you've experienced before, there's always greater. So I'm here just to say, that was good, but this is greater. And so because it continually in your heart, Lord, I just want to be that new wineskin because I want to receive that new wine. I want the new wine. I want the new wine. I want to be that new wineskin that can hold the new wine. So just always before the Lord. Lord, deal with anything that hinders me, that stalls me, that makes me stagnant, that makes me stuck. That religious spirit will make you feel stuck. So you are that river of life, river of life, river of life that needs to be flowing out of you. Okay. If I could give you a visual picture of like, how does this look? Like, what does this look like in scripture? So the Lord gave me the story of David and Goliath. And I know it's one of those things like, oh, I remember that story from like Sunday school or VBS. But can I just allow to read it to you? And hopefully, Lord, we are just asking for new revelation. New revelation as it's read this morning, Lord. Okay, we are in... I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you guys want to turn over there, Marnie was so gracious. She has the whole chapter up there for me. Okay, everybody's ready? This incredible story. Okay, I'm on chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah and Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side,
So they're on the mountain on one side, then there's this valley, and a valley, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So that's like over 9.5 feet tall. So could you just imagine this immense gentleman? He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now, the staff of the spear were like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went before him. When he stood out and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and your servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, and then you will be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of his Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I did some research. So this story has fascinated me for about a half a year now. So ancient warfare, what they would do to avoid a lot of bloodshed, they would, one army would send their most mighty, dreadful champion to fight against this side's most dreadful, mighty warrior. And they would duel between just the two men. And that way they would avoid a whole lot of bloodshed. So a lot of times in ancient warfare, it was just done between the two most dreaded warriors. And whoever won, won the whole battle and defeated the other one. So this is what was going on. Okay. Now David was a son of the Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to Saul to the battle. The names of the 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went out and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself for 40 days, morning and evening. So he was taunting. So I don't know if you just open up your news feed on your phone, there's a lot of stuff going on that just taunts us. And it could just seem like this thing is just constantly blaring. Okay. When Jesse said to the son David, "Take now for yourself brothers an ephah of his dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David, just a little shepherd boy, he was just the carrier of food. That's all that he's known for at this moment. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the camp as army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up their battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in his hand. The supply keeper ran to the army, came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who comes up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him the daughter and give his father's house exemption for taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" It took one man to hear differently of what was being said in the atmosphere. It just took one man. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who..." Okay, so now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard he spoke to the men, what he had spoke to the men, what David had said, and Eliab's anger rose against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And whom have you left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You will always have people, if you choose to engage, you will always have people that question your motives. There will always be people that will try to belittle you, shame you, make you feel insignificant. It was not any different back then. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? I want to highlight this. So I'm going to pray for you because something needs to be stirred in our spirit that each one of us would rise up and say, is there not a cause? And I don't care if it's something worldwide that provokes you, like, you know, that sting in your heart every time you hear about it. That's the Lord saying, this is what I have for you. I don't, if it's local news, that thing that just pierces you and provokes you is like, wait a minute. You know, that kind of that righteousness, anger that rises up with you. It's like, no, this is not the kingdom. When we talk about establishing God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, you know, we love saying that. And it's beautiful and it's powerful. But sometimes we don't stop and think, what does it look like for me personally to bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven? Like, what is the cause the Lord is giving you to raise up his standard and say, you know what, I choose to engage in? So let me just share this with you. There was something that had been on my heart for a while, and I actually wouldn't share it with anybody. And then I finally shared it with my husband, and it's like, I can see, like, this big picture. And one thing that always is on my heart is people walking in freedom and liberty, freedom and liberty, freedom. And I'm freedom fighter. Like, I'm totally getting, I've never been into the Marvel movies. I'm like, I didn't grow up doing that, but I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, like, I know Wonder Woman's not Marvel. She's DC Comics, but I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, she so resonates with me. Like, oh, I can totally get Wonder Woman. And then all of a sudden I started getting into DC Comics and some Marvel. I'm like, oh, Black Widow. I mean, you got some of you are like, I don't even know what she's talking about. That's totally fine. Like, all of a sudden I'm like, these people that will stand up for a cause and engage and just say, I'll give it all. I'll give it all. If it means you can be free and you live in liberty, and you experience the greatness of who you are, I'll give it all. I'll lay it all down, and I'll give it all. So I have something on my heart that it's this, I'll just say this area, and it's been on my heart for a while, and I can just, I've been involved in this area before with this group of people, and many people have gone before me, a lot of intercession, a lot of declaration, a lot of prophetic prayer. I mean, there's just, it's, you know, a lot of seeds have been planted. A lot of people have put their feet to the ground there. And I've been there. My family has been there. And it just kept stinging. It's kept stinging my spirit. And finally, I told my husband, and I saw this big picture. Like, I can see the big picture. Like, I can see, like, oh, my gosh, Lord. Like, oh, when you, just outpouring and people being, signs, wonders, and miracles. I love anything about signs, wonders, miracles. Like, I can't be in awe and wonder of the glory of the Lord and see people walk into fullness. So I can see the big picture. And finally, I was with someone else and they pinpointed me and they said, what is it that you're dreaming about? And I knew when she looked at me, it's like, I couldn't fudge around it anymore. So I just let it out. And so it was the greatest moment, one of the moments of freedom for me, because it's like, I have to tell someone. Like, I have to let people know that this is on my heart. And whether you partner with me or not, I don't know, but you got to let people know, like, this is my cause. This is my cause. I was born for this. Like, I was made for this. Like, this is the calling and gifting on my life. And just start telling people. And you'll find people that will connect with you, and others will just, I'll have my cowbell. And that was another message I have. I'll have my cowbell. And I'll just, you'll hear me. You'll hear me ringing my cowbell for you. Like, you go, 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 go. And I'm running mine. And so I finally told, you know, I was telling it. And then so they actually, graciously, Lord sent some of my dear friends. They came out with me and I was out there. And then I'm in transition of like what I'm doing. And like this door opened, like, whoa, for me to do something. And it was not what I wanted to do. I'm being completely honest with you. It was like not what I wanted to do. The open door to get into what I wanted to do. I hope I'm cryptic here. And I looked and I'm like, I said I would never do this because this is not really what I want. And graciously, my husband's like, this is an open door and look at, just a minute, I want you to look at this, about the influence you'll have in your day, the influence and impact. I'm like, okay, and like the door just like, ooh, opened up, and is it different than I thought? Absolutely. But can I tell you, I'm walking what the Lord has called. Let me point this out. If you're waiting for the time to be like magically convenient for you, you will wait until you die. And then you'll stand before the Lord, and the Lord will be like, son, daughter, what'd you do? Oh, I just kept waiting for that perfect moment. Like the perfect moment that will never come. Will it be inconvenient? Absolutely. It will inconvenience your life. Will it look different? My personal experience, it's been looking pretty different. But I'm still holding on to the big picture because I want to be part of it. And I will play my part, what I'm called to, what my assignment is, because I will get to see the big part. Now, I envision big things. I envision. So anyways, let me just pray. So Lord, I just thank you for this stirring, this moment. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just come and you know exactly how to minister to each of our spirits. And so, Lord, I just release you, Holy Spirit, over each son and daughter here, that you see the calling, you see the purpose, you see the destinies, you see the unique giftings of each one. And Lord, I ask that you just drop in that cause, that one that they will raise up and say, is there not a cause that will cause them to engage in, to cause them to say, I will lay my life down. I will be inconvenient because I see what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to see. Okay, is there not a cause? Then he turned towards him and another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. When the words of David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for them. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go up and fight with this Philistine. So I love David. He's like, you know what? I'll do it. No more of this taunting. No more of this. I will engage. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. And he be a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. This is David not being stuck with the memorial stone of like, you know what? I've killed a lion and I've killed a bear. Oh gosh. Let's put this into like a glass case and let me put a little plate down there. I'm like, oh, man, I killed a lion. This is where I killed the bear. Tomorrow I killed the lion. I killed the bear. That's not the memorial stone. This is not what he did. He carried those memorial stones across the Jordan River and he said, there's something greater. There's something greater. This propels me. There's something more and there's something greater. David carried those stones with him. He didn't stop there. So let me just tell you, that spirit, religious spirit would say, that's good enough. Just settle for that. That was enough. You killed the lion and the bear. That's pretty awesome. I mean, really, I would say that's, I mean, honestly, I've never killed a lion or a bear. So if I did, I would say, gosh, that was like really amazing. But for David, it's like, as amazing as that was, that only leads me to something even greater. So that's why he took those stone memorial stones with him. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord will be with you. And so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, and he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. If I can encourage you, when you start going after the cause, there could be people well-intentioned saying, what about this? Why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it this way? One thing I love about David is that he went against the cultural norm. Like, he broke through tradition, and he says, I'm not going to do it that way. He broke the rules. He's like, that's not the strategy of this day. That would have worked for you and your season, but that's not mine. So just be free, be free, be free to what the Lord has called you. Okay, so then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had and his sling in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David and the man who bore the shield went before him. So let me back up. So not only was Goliath over 9'6", but they stated that he actually has over 100 pounds of armor on him. Like it was bronze, like he was coated with bronze. And then even his shoes all the way up here. And he had a helmet on. Like he was like carrying like, I don't know, like 100 pounds of armor with him. And he had a sword, a spear, and a javelin. David's not dressed like that. He's not being engaged like that. He takes 5 stones. Now, so I have told this story numerous times this last week because it's just on my heart. And so usually when I tell the story, like people go like this, oh yeah, the slingshot. That's our slingshot. It wasn't that type of a slingshot. Yes, it was a slingshot that you would do rotations with. Yes, yes, yes. And so I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. I don't know where I was at, but let's see here. Oh, okay, here we go. I'm on verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And then the Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds, flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and take your head from you. When we engage, we come in the name of the Lord Almighty. We come in the Lord's name. Okay. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and the earth may know that there is a God of Israel. Then all of this assembly will know the Lord God does not save with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into my hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand into the bag and took out a stone and slung it. Okay, can I just, I have some like research information that I just wanted to pass along to you. This is the historian from Moshe Garcel. To the Israelites, the extraordinary spear with its heavy shaft, plus its long, heavy iron blade, when hurled by Goliath's strong arm, seemed capable of piercing not only the bronze shield that any Israelite would be holding, but also through their armor. Okay, what Goliath was actually believing he was going to encounter was another infantry one like him, a man who would engage in combat like he does. Like that hand-to-hand combat, a sword, a spear, and a javelin. So I know, I'm in war mode. But so this fascinated me too. So my grandpa fought in World War II, so some of the stories I remember. But so you have cavalry who would ride on the horse. Goliath and David were not cavalry. They did not ride on horses. They were not skilled or trained that way. Goliath was an infantry. So he had his sword and a spear and a javelin. And he was skilled that way. David was not. David was a slinger. And so David had plenty of time to practice when he was tending the sheep, to get that rock. And so this Israeli Defense Force ballistic expert, his name is Eitan Shur, said he calculated David's sling of the rock would have been, he could have gone at least 6 to 7 rotations in a second. How did he get his wrists? But that's just how skilled he was. There, he estimated that David would have been able to do 6 to 7 rotations of his wrists to release that rock. And so what he actually calculated, it would have been equivalent to a handgun releasing, okay, so that handgun being fired of his rock being released from his slingshot. And in other words, it would have been like this. Me standing in front of, just a minute, I got to get my sport right. It's Major League Baseball pitcher. I had to get that in my right. Major League Baseball pitcher. I don't know, like the best one. I'm sorry, gentlemen and ladies. I don't know who the best one is right now. Me standing in front of him, you know, several yards, and him throwing his baseball and aiming right at my head, except it's not actually a baseball, it's a rock. That's what we're talking about here. David's skill and ability to be a slinger. There was no comparison between Goliath and David. So I know that when the Philistines were standing on the ridge seeing Goliath, and then the Israelites standing on the ridge and seeing David, like, neither side, I mean, they thought, he's totally outnumbered, he's right, the underdog, he has no chance, there's no hope for David. But in all actuality, David had every advantage to him. He was not weighted down, and he was an expert slinger, which means he could run towards his enemy, sling it, and he released the stone. Okay, so let me just hear. I don't even remember where I'm at. So David of the Philistine took his sword. Oh, this is like some of the best part. Okay, so then David put his hand in the bag. I'm on verse 49. And he took out the stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank deep into his forehead and he fell on his face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. He was not an infantryman. He was a slinger. So he needed the sword. So he went to the enemy, grabbed the enemy's sword, Goliath's sword, and we know the story, chopped off his head, held up the head, got the Goliath. I got the giant. There's no more taunting. There's no more taunting. We are not going to be paralyzed by this thing that defied the living Lord anymore. Now, I understand that I'm talking in this story about a human being, but you all understand we're not talking about human beings. We're not talking about waging war against people. We're not waging a war like we target, that's my Goliath, you know, I don't know, some name, and that's not it. We go after the enemy, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. Let me read the scripture verse to you. We're going to read it first, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. Is that right, Marnie? And I'm going to, yeah, let's do it that way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Okay, now I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. So, so let me read it out of, there we go. This is a Passion Translation. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Because my little footnote on that, where people hide, the defenses behind which people hide, a couple weeks ago, the Lord dropped in my spirit, go storm the castle. Go storm the castle. I'm like, oh, that is awesome. Going to storm the castle. And, you know, it's that stronghold that people hide behind or they're enclosed behind. It's like freedom and liberty and people being delivered. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to go storm the castle. And I was thinking like really big, like regionally. And I'm not, I mean, that could be down the road. But then a little bit later, the Lord's like, Jennifer, some of the greatest spiritual warfare you'll do is evangelism. And evangelism scares me. And he goes, do you realize why? Is because when you evangelize, you look at someone and you challenge that belief system that they hold so tightly to, and you release them out of that bondage, that stronghold, that castle, and you bring them into the truth and the liberty of the word of God and into his love. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, so I'm storming the castle, but like for some reason it seemed like in my head it seemed easier, let's just do it like regionally, let's go after it, and you know, but the thing about it is he sees each one of us, like he sees us. He's a God who sees, and he sees you, and he goes, he knows the struggles and the heartache and the lies we believe and the deception, and he's like, just calls us out and for freedom. And so let me just finish this, and then I'll tell you I have stories today. I'm a storyteller, Jennifer. Okay, we demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought. No, we're not talking people. You got this right. It's people's mindsets that insist that it bowed in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we could be slingers. We stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. And what that actually means is we stand ready and willing to wage war and defeat the enemy. But it's not a person. It's those things that oppress people. And so let me just tell you my story. So on this last week, I went through my big open door and so I just thought, I don't even know what this really looks like. So I had a conversation with someone, and the Lord just would just highlight certain ones. Like, this one's ready. I'm like, okay. So I had a conversation, and I could see that I was challenging this belief system. And it was a very small mindset. Like, no hope, like, no real low sense of value, real sense of worth. And I looked at this person, and I started speaking hope and destiny and greatness. You're called to impact, influence. It's the pictures. You have so much. There's so much in you. And I could see this person, like, all of a sudden, like, there's a shift. And I started, like, there's more. So you can go after the more. You don't have to be limited to what you're thinking. And I started speaking it, and then all of a sudden, there was, like, a turn. And this person's like, really? Like, really? I'm like, yes, absolutely. There's absolutely nothing that will hinder you if you choose to go into greatness. Go after it. I'm cheering you on. Like, I believe in you. I believe in you. And I saw this, and I saw them come into agreement with truth. And so I'm like, okay. And so I left, and I'm like, chopped off the enemy's head. And I was like, Father God, I got ahead. I took down a giant, Lord. I took down a giant. Now, it wasn't like a big giant, but it wasn't like a Goliath giant, but I don't know, but I got started. Like, I was so proud. I was like, Lord, I got started. And yes, it was kind of scary. It was kind of scary. But I'm like, I got my first giant's head. And I can't wait to hear about yours. I want you to start telling me stories about how you've engaged. Like, there's something that's being provoked in your spirit. The Lord is calling you, engage in, son. Engage in, daughter. Go after it. Establish my kingdom. Can I just, if you even need to know, like, where do I even get started? I have something for you. And you don't even have to leave your car if you don't want to leave your car. Take laps around schools. Take laps. Drive around schools. Take you 15, 30 minutes. Drive laps around schools. Grab a sister, grab a brother. Say, you know what? Do you have 30 minutes? On Tuesday, this is what we're gonna go around the schools. Go around the schools. Go around the schools. Go around the schools. God's kingdom. We establish God's kingdom. Peace. Love. Joy. Identity. Just drive around schools. And if you can, put your feet on the ground. And so, you know what? If you need a sidewalk, the Lewiston High School, it's an incredible, brand new, it's beautiful sidewalk. Grab someone, go, we're going to walk in. We're going to walk in, and we're going to see the strongholds, that castle, come down. You're going to see it. If I can just encourage you, like, where do you even get started? I'll just say, go for the schools. Go for the schools. Also, LC has sidewalks that are very easy to walk around. The elementary schools and the junior high, not so much, are set up that way. Grab a school. And we have those in this room that are holding the line. I know I don't know where Greg went. My brother, Jeremy, my sister-in-law, Marnie. I don't know, Tara, are you still out of Soton? And I don't know, I know Jacqueline's in schools. And I think others, they're holding the line. But I know they'd be like, we will take any reinforcement we can. And there's such an agenda after this generation of kiddos. Because they have an incredible call and destiny on their life that we all need to link together. It's not like it's just on them, but we so desperately need this younger generation to fulfill what each one of us are called to do. It's not like we're a separate generation. It's the generation alive on the earth today. So if I can encourage, like, some of you, it's like, where do I start? Some of you, just grab a map, of like a physical map of the Lewis Clark Valley. Lay your hands on the map. Lay your hands on the map. And then keep a journal. And even those of you who are going to go around the schools, keep a journal. This is what the Lord's saying. And just keep a journal. Keep a journal. And some of you, so I really don't know how to end this. But I can pray. I can pray. So I want you guys to stand up and let's pray. So Jesus. So how about this? If you just want to keep your arms out and just start asking Holy Spirit for a cause. What is my cause, Lord? What is my assignment, Lord? With all that you have placed within me, all of my awesomeness, all my amazing talents, all the giftings that you have given me, Lord, and I'm alive on planet Earth for this moment. This is my moment. This is why I'm alive. For this moment, Lord. So, Lord, I just ask you to start stirring, start provoking, start prodding. Lord, I just ask that we would be made to be uncomfortable. Let us just be a people that are uncomfortable. It's like, I'm called to do something. Like, my life matters, and I owe something to the world. Lord, let that be something that we carry. It's like, my life, I owe it to the world. Something out of me I owe to the world. Like, I am called to benefit and bless others. So, Lord, even now, I just ask, Holy Spirit, issues, Lord. Things that are going on that you're asking us to put our hand in the air and say, that is my cause. That is my cause. Lord, that we be people that establish your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven because we choose to engage. We want to be people that choose to engage. Jesus, we thank you for the fire. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for fire. We thank you for fire that burns up what needs to be burned up and ignites what needs to be ignited. And we thank you, Lord, that David could do what he did because he had a whole history of you, with you, of intimacy, being out with the sheep. He had a whole just incredible history of intimacy with you. So, Lord, we are asking that we are fueled. What fuels us is our intimacy with you. So, Lord, let it be just this force of love that people encounter. Lord, we're excited. Lord, we are so excited. Lord, I just ask for an anticipation of excitement. Lord, I just say even that river of life that Jeff was talking about last Sunday that would bubble up. Lord, part of that is just excitement and anticipation of what you're going to do and what you're going to do through each one of us. Lord, and I thank you for the testimonies that are going to start being released of those who like, hey, I just cut off my first giant's head. You got to hear the story. Lord, that we would be people that would engage in warfare for the freedom of others, Lord. Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the crossing over into the Jordan. Lord, I thank you for the stones that we left in the Jordan, that we do not carry anything old. We do not want anything old. But Lord, that we've crossed over the Jordan into the new because we are the new wineskin for the new wine. And it's going to taste different. There's going to be a taste out of each one of our lives that when people encounter us, we just taste different. Lord, we're just excited. And we're going to be a people that stand in awe and in wonder of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. But if you wanted to share with someone, like, I think honestly, if you could go out to lunch, go out to coffee, or just someone next to you, like, this is what's on my heart. There was a real freedom and release when I finally started telling people, like, this is what's on my heart. And that they can start, not that they're going to join you necessarily, but they can champion you on and have that cowbell, like, you go, you go. So I would encourage you, if there's something the Lord provoked you or stung you with, just share it with someone. Amen. Have a beautiful Sunday afternoon.